It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into Extra Innings here on the Sports Objective Podcast. It's a Sunday night as we record, and we've got a great guest and another one later on after our Extra Innings part of the podcast. And right now we'll introduce right now Mr. Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
Cool on, David. How are you?
Well, I'm trying to stay awake, but it's great to do a podcast.
Definitely.
Yeah. And we also have Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
Good evening, guys. I always look forward to talking Pirate baseball. It's another solid weekend.
Yes, it was, and I'm sure it will be hopefully this weekend. And so we want to bring in the play-by-play voice of the ECU Pirates baseball team. Corey Glore, always love having you on, man. How are you doing?
I am doing well, gentlemen. I'm excited to find out who the second guest is later on tonight.
We'll tell you now.
That's what we call a tease right there.
Yeah, there's no need to tease on the podcast because people could just fast forward. It's new ECU women's basketball coach Kim McNeil.
Ooh, not bad at all.
Yeah, we were the first media outlet to have her, is my understanding, I believe. So, but anyway, we'll have her on in the second part of the show. But first, we want to talk, of course, about ECU baseball. Corey, I tell you what, man, I'm just tickled. I told Kyle this is one that we were talking about after the last series that we really wanted to make sure that we could win the series 2 out of 3 against Houston. At least, obviously, a sweep would have been nice, but if we could at least get that, that would be a really good sign because it would give us a really good lead in the overall American Conference. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of lockstep with you, gentlemen. I went down there knowing that they were capable of winning that series. I think when you look at the two teams with how they've played this year, particularly with each other's lineups, the Pirates are the more talented and you know, more deep bunch right now at this part of the year. And to have to come back to do it on Saturday with those two games to win that series, that showed a pretty decent amount of mettle for this team. To exercise some of those demons against Houston as well, to do it in a place that's been really a haunted house for this program for a good long while, and to do it the way that they did in the nightcap, I think says a lot about this team.
No doubt about it. And with the three games, I know that we'll break those down in just a second, but this is a situation where one thing that the scenarios I have, like as far as the season are concerned, overall themes, you obviously know this team is talented enough to be in a regional. Obviously, this team wants to host a regional and possibly a super regional. But one thing that I know that stands out for us as we were doing preseason, Corey, I think that this team has the capability of being a national seed, one of the top 8 seeds in the tournament. And they're right outside, I think, right now. They're kind of like on the bubble for that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they, with what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, that they've proven they're certainly in the top 15, you know, if you want to make it 16 to include all the regional teams. They're in that group nationally for sure right now. They're knocking on the door of being inside that top 8 when you just kind of look at the quality of the teams around the country. This team is exceptionally deep, and it's not just the numbers, but every single one of these guys is just uber talented. And so you got quality and quantity that's really clicking right now. So yeah, you match this team up with anybody in the country, they're gonna really put a fight on, and we're gonna see that this coming weekend here. But right now, this team is playing about as well as anybody in the nation, and that's pretty fun to think about.
And you think and back after that loss to Mississippi State, we were 8-5, so a lot was made of the 10-game win streak. But now the Pirates have even with that loss on Friday night, have won 16 out of their last 18.
Yeah, I mean, you lost to a Duke team that was playing really well on the road, and then you lost the opener to Houston in that stretch on the road. But they've been able to take care of business outside of that, and even in that game Friday, they played pretty darn well, aside from just not being able to find the big hit. against U of H. So you could arguably say this team could actually be a little bit better than what they've done over their 16 and 18 stretch right now. But this certainly is, you will gladly take this entering the second half of the season. It's hard to find a way to beat this team. That's the thing that keeps standing out to me, guys, where when you look at them, it's rare to have a night like this lineup did Friday night where they just weren't really figuring out a starting pitcher. At some point, they usually find something and muster something off of a guy they weren't able to Friday. But then to come back and to just barrage Houston to death in that first game and then finally figure things out in that nightcap on Houston, that says a lot about the makeup of this team and how they can win any way you throw at them. They can come at you in 11 different ways. And a team has to be as close to perfect against this Pirate team right now to win. And that's, you certainly like the position that the Pirates are in right now, because they're rarely beating themselves if they're being beaten at all over the last month and a half.
You know, Corey, one thing that steps out in my opinion too, in my mind, is the fact that what's been amazing when I think about this season, when you think about baseball, one of the, I guess it's a necessary evil, if you will. I hate to use that term, but I can't think of a term better right now. But you have double headers, and they're undefeated in double headers. That's just unheard. I mean, not trying to make it be dramatic, but it just seems like that's a stat for me. Bubba's a stats guy, and Colin, I will tell you that. But sure. That's a stat that really stands out to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to, you know, make a lot out of it, but I think you're warranted in doing that, Dave, because, you know, a road doubleheader, first one of the year this past weekend after you dropped the opener the night before, and right. It was a game that was pretty frustrating for this team, and it was a pretty frustrated head coach after that game too, and to swing right around and have to play two games, and it was a very uncomfortable day in Houston. It was low 80s, it was really humid, and to come out and put game one away early and then really salt it away late, and then finish off an intense game after that. That's a hell of a job. I there are a number of people that I talked to after the doubleheader finished up Saturday night where I feel like when we get towards the middle of May, end of May, and we're wrapping up conference season, that nightcap win last night in Houston is going to be one to remember. That's a biggie in my mind. To come from behind late, to win the series, to sweep the doubleheader against that team in that ballpark, and put yourself 8-1 in the league with that win, put a star next to that one, because I think we're going to be looking back at this one.
Kyle, I wanted to mention to you, I think the word that's coming to my mind as far as this team, obviously the elephant in the room is certainly to avoid any injuries, but also you have to be careful when you're the hunted not to lose focus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always easier to be the hunter than it is to be the hunted. And right now, when we're playing in conference and a lot of non-conference games, we're you know, kind of the hunted, and we got to go in it with a hunter's mentality. And this weekend, the roles will be reversed if
right.
We will be going on the road to the number one team in the country, UCLA, and we'll step back in the role of being the hunters. And that'll be an interesting change of pace for us.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure UCLA is well aware of what kind of a baseball team they're going to face this weekend.
Oh yeah, they'll be aware. I think, you know, Coach Godwin said something pretty interesting after the doubleheader on Saturday. He was talking to D1 Baseball, who was there at the game, and he said it is tricky to keep, you know, 18 to 22 year olds focused when all you're hearing is how good you are. And
right.
They are good, and they are extremely good, and they've been playing like it over the last month and a half. So it is hard to, you know, he said the quote was, we're trying to make these guys practice like we're playing bad baseball right now. Like, and
right.
that sort of thing, to try and keep that ingrained into these guys' head, because this group really does have the makeup of something special right now. You know, health is the elephant in the room. It's the elephant in the room from every single team in this sport. And right now they're still pretty healthy. But just keeping that lockdown focus and keeping it, I mean, the kind of the phrase this year for this team is stay in the present moment. That's kind of the thing that we're hearing a lot from this club. It's easier said than done. So the fact that they've been on this tear of 16 of 18, and a lot of those games on the road and a good bulk of them in conference, that right now they're practicing what's being preached. They're going to go into every series, with the exception of this coming weekend, expecting to, they're going to be favored essentially for every series the rest of the way in conference play, if there are sad people who are betting on college baseball. But, you know, to use that vernacular, I mean, UCLA, they around the country, they will not be anticipated to win this series coming up this weekend. They can absolutely win this series coming up this weekend because they're that talented. But the rest of the way, when they host UConn, when they host Tulane, you get two heavy hitters in your ballpark. When they go to Cincinnati, when they go to Wichita, when they host Memphis, they're going to be expected to win those series. That's where they are right now as a program. So walking into every weekend, flushing that out of your mind and approaching a game saying, we got to battle our tails off to win these games, that is going to be a pretty fascinating development over the last, you know, half of the season here and how they approach this the rest of the way.
Hey, Bubba, I want to mention, bring you in. As an athlete, and I know Kyle and Corey, we all can talk about it too, but you know, it's easy right now in the Pirates when everything, adding to what you're saying, Corey, when everybody's things are going really well, you have a responsibility of winning, but it's so easy, like human nature, to lose focus. You kind of like take the foot off the gas, so to speak, and you kind of get, I hate the word comfortable, because but it's easy to get comfortable when you're on a tear like this.
There's no doubt. One of the clips that I think about when you're talking about this subject, Dave, is the old press conference with Mike Leach when he was talking about how great you are with what they said,
your little
fat little girlfriends. Yeah. So that's the clip that I think of really comes to mind, and it's definitely true. Even though, I mean, he portrayed it in a funny way, but it's undoubtedly true. Some points that I wanted to make about the Houston series, after getting shut down on Friday night, we didn't strike out a bunch. We only had three strikeouts, but we just couldn't put anything across. And then we jumped on Houston right out of the gates in game two, in game one of that doubleheader. And then after leading 4-0, they kind of chipped away a bit. And then this was one of the big plays for me, when Spencer Brickhouse hit that grand slam to respond to the lead being cut in half and making it 8-2, and I think that really took the win out of Houston sales.
Yeah, that popped the balloon in that ballpark when that happened, because you know, the Pirates got into the bullpen in the second inning of that game, at the first game of a doubleheader. So I think that you would have been excused if you were thinking, wow, this is setting up beautifully for this team right now, where if you're already getting into the bullpen and you have 17 innings of baseball to play against this team, like that's you sit back and you say, yeah, we got this. We're in position to really do this here. And maybe, you know, the attention slipped a little bit in the middle innings there. The Houston bullpen is very good. It's structured differently than in years past, but they have a lot of quality arms, and they were finding the outs to string together there to get to the middle innings. And then Houston chipped in against Tyler Smith. And then all of a sudden, the Pirates walked the bases loaded. It just kind of appeared where suddenly Houston couldn't find the strike zone at all. And then the first pitch Spencer saw left the ballpark altogether. That was a complete 180, because Houston had that momentum. If momentum exists in the sport of baseball, they grabbed it entering the sixth inning there. And so, you know, if you're going to walk the bases loaded, spanning across two pitchers, doing it in front of number 42, you're asking for trouble, and boy, did it come. That was, you could almost hear the audible sigh of relief from the Pirate dugout after that shot there, because that game got tight, and I don't think they were expecting it to with how the game started. So to have to have Spencer to step up, take the first pitch, and groove it over the right field wall, that was, all right, we're back where we're supposed to be right now sort of moment.
Spencer also had another home run in the game prior to that, I think it was. And then you had Jake Washer had a home run and a double, and Turner Brown went 4-6.
Yeah, and Turner beat out 3 infield singles in that game, too. I mean, it was a little bit of everything in that first game of the doubleheader. That was really the, you know, monumental offense that we know this Pirate team is, and we've seen a lot over the last month where, you know, any Houston pitcher, even if they found a way out of an at-bat, it took a while. Like, just they're a grinding offense, and they will really work you to death. Even if they strike out, Cliff and I have talked about that before, and that happened not as much in game 2 of the doubleheader. They struck out a ton in that game, but they're usually really working at bats deep, even if they strike out. So it's that first game of the doubleheader was kind of vintage ECU offense right there. You had 3 homers on the day. You just kept driving the ball. They jumped on the starter right away, and then once the game got tighter, then all hell kind of broke loose with the Pirate lineup again, and they salted that game away.
And then on the pitching side of things, how about Gavin Williams out of the pen, 3 hitless innings?
It was funny. I was talking to the radio voice of Houston, Jeremy Branham, prior to Friday's game. And, you know, there's kind of an understanding, or there's a relationship with the broadcasters around the league and really around the sport where we always meet before the game. We talk about the team's life, whatever. We're pretty friendly all around the league. And we were talking about their closer, Fred Villarreal, who the Pirates saw on Friday. And then he's like, who do you guys, you know, how does your back end of the bullpen shape up? And I said, I don't know, like, because there's no real structure to it. And that's by design, because everybody right now in that bullpen is trusted to get the job done. I think the number is 5 on this roster have saves right now. I mean, it's that type of team. And Gavin he looked electric again in that game 1 of the doubleheader. And the only reason why he probably couldn't finish that game off is because the pitcher spot came up in the order, and he had to leave the game. Otherwise, they probably would have tried and put him out there for a fourth inning and save another arm for the nightcap. But the last 2 outings we've seen from Gavin in long relief against USF and against Houston have been really sharp and have been the stuff that we know he has, the electric velocity with the sharp breaking ball that had a lot of people so excited about him entering 2017 or 2018, I should say.
And in the series, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to make a quick point as far as the bullpen is concerned. It's a good problem to have, right, Corey, with the fact that with that many arms. And it also shows that the job the coaching staff has done to, as far as recruiting, you definitely want to have a lot of arms if you're going to make it all the way through June.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation that I was having with Jeremy Branham turned into how the role of closer in the sport of baseball is becoming a little bit more passe, I guess. It's kind of going a little bit the way of the dodo bird. Major League Baseball is still clinging to the term closer, but college baseball, you're seeing more teams evolve like this because I think more and more clubs understand that you're going to need to have all these guys groomed for high leverage situations if you want to compete for a national title. And so for the Pirates to be able to go to Gavin Williams, Alec Burleson, Ryder Giles, Sam Lanier, Evan Falava, Cam Colmore, there's probably a name I'm forgetting that I just threw out there too, to be able to go there and say, yeah, I trust all of these guys to get the outs to finish a game. I mean, that it's starting to feel a lot like last year and even a step above last year, where you could go to Ryan Ross, you could go to Davis Kirkpatrick, you could go to Wes Covington. Zach Barnes is the name I forgot. There's the other guy really out of this bullpen where everybody knows that when they're called upon, it's probably going to be in a pretty high-intensity spot to get some crucial outs, and this staff trust every single one of them to a man to do it. That is a huge luxury to have.
Are you calling the game Wednesday night at Wilmington, or is that going to be Patrick Johnson?
It will be Patrick Johnson, and make your plans accordingly. That is a Tuesday night game, I believe.
Tuesday. Okay. All right.
And just in case you're heading down to beautiful Brooks Field, make sure you head down there Tuesday.
Yes. Wednesday, you'll be a day late.
Hey, well, hey, I can guarantee we're going to win the game on Wednesday because we're not.
And we definitely will lose. I'll put a win down for Wednesday. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wonder with UCLA series coming up this weekend, I wonder if the guys will be in it mentally. Wilmington's always a big rivalry, but I do wonder if you can't play UCLA until you get there, but I wonder if there'll be any look ahead.
I think that would get squashed pretty quickly if anybody is, because the rivalry is already pretty inherent. I mean, it's not really even just lip service, the ECU-Wilmington battle, because – there's a good bulk of these guys that were probably being looked at by Wilmington, and a good bulk of those kids in Wilmington that were being looked at by ECU. These kids all generally play against each other in high school and travel ball. Like, there's a lot of familiarity here. And then you add on the alumni base, the fan bases. A lot of the alums still live in the East for both of these schools. And so there is already just kind of a natural clashing between the two. And if anybody is looking ahead on this team, I think all Coach Godwin will do is probably flip on that fifth inning from last June and say, yeah, this is the team who did this to you. And that'll be that. Like, I mean, it's that simple. So, there's that added element too, where now this is the first crack to see this team that gave you the worst inning maybe of their lives. So, I mean, I feel pretty certain that no one's going in that clubhouse is going to be looking forward past Wilmington here.
You look at it with the Wilmington and UCLA, these four games are absolutely, everybody says, but this is one of the most important weeks on the schedule for sure.
This is a real shot. I mean, the Pirates are good. We know they're good. And now they're going to kind of be put on a national spotlight for the second time this year. That Mississippi trip was the first time. And now this will be the second time where now they really get to prove where they match up with the nation's elite here. And, you know, Wilmington's been inconsistent this season. They're off to a pretty odd start. They just aren't getting enough pitching right now. Then you have who will be the consensus number one team in the country. There are 80 polls, but if any of them don't have UCLA at the top tomorrow, then I kind of want what they're consuming because it sounds like fun. I mean, they're the best team in the country right now. I mean, and it's very hard to find another team after they just took 2 of 3 from the number 2 team in the nation on the road. And then, you know, if you want to spin this forward a little bit more, that trip to Elon is very sneaky, sitting right there a week from Tuesday.
Right.
Elon's had a very good year this year, and they're playing some exceptional baseball right now, and that is right before UConn comes to town. So, you know, you mentioned potentially looking past Wilmington to get to UCLA. I'm not as concerned about that next week. If there's any concern at all about maybe a potential look ahead, next week's the one to probably keep your eye on a little bit with a huge conference series coming up, and that's a Thursday start for that weekend series. And that trip to Burlington sits right there on Tuesday after going across country to the number one team in the nation. Elon is – that game is going to be pretty fascinating to me, I'll say that. But, I mean, this whole 5-game stretch to finish up this road trip, there are storylines about it for each and every one here.
Almost hope it rains next Tuesday.
rain, baby, rain.
Corey,
or maybe their coach will say – or hopefully their coach will say that the field is not good enough for us to play on, right?
No, that's only NC State.
Okay.
Corey, it's hard to listen to all 27 innings. What lines did you get in this week?
Oh, I marked them down. Let me grab the list here. I was so prepared. Hold on. Let me get my bag. Let's see. I got a couple in Friday. I got Service with a Smile. I got One Person's Craziness is Another Person's Reality. I was truly about to pull It's Like 10,000 Spoons When All You Need Is a Knife out. Like, I had it set up. Like, I even set it up. And then Malcolm Gray, I love the guy. He didn't know what I was trying to do there, but he jumped in and derailed it. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, oh, there it goes. I had I Know You Are, But What Am I in there as well. That came in the doubleheader. Sorry, Kyle, your favorite Tim Burton line of Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice did not make it in. And I believe late Saturday night, I got The World Meets Nobody halfway. So,
all right.
Awesome. Well, we have a new theme this week, Corey.
Okay.
Based on where you're traveling to. So we're trying to keep it between the lines and make it simple for all of us. And I thought that we could do a, not that it has to be limited to this, but to do anything, songs, TV shows, movies related to California.
Okay.
So is that too easy?
No, listen, it depends on what lines you throw at me. That's okay. The whole game. If you want to create mold and sculpt the theme to whatever you'd like, I mean, I figured that's where you're going to go today. But, let's just see what you gentlemen got.
All right, who will start?
All right. I'll still about California Dreamin' on such a – can you change it to such a spring day instead of winter day because it's not winter? I'm trying to help you out for the mamas and the papas.
I will do that.
That's easy.
I know, but I was
– I mean,
we're
I
trying to give you
– we're trying to give you – Friday with that.
Yeah, we try to give you easy, medium, and hard. Of course, Kyle likes to be the – the ones, the really hard ones that you're like, how in the hell do I get that one in?
All right, I got one. Speaking of that. All right. Corey, how old are you?
I'm 31.
31, okay. I don't know if you watch this show or not. You may not fall into the age. You may be a little too young. Did you ever watch a show on NBC on Saturday mornings called California Dreams?
Saved by the Bell.
You did.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
I couldn't. All I remember is they had like a beach villa. Like they all lived in that. Right.
Yes,
it made no sense. And I was 7 years old. And like this is terribly unrealistic.
All these teenagers that lived in a beach villa and had a band. But the theme song was actually really good. And I'm going to give you a line from the theme song. All right. Here you go. Surf dudes with attitude, kind of groovy.
Surf dudes with attitude,
kind of groovy.
Kind of groovy.
All right, can I do another easy one?
Good luck with that one.
Yeah. I've got an easy one for you.
All right.
I'm going easy on you this week. California Girls, the Beach Boys, I wish they all could be California Girls.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, Bubba. Are you there?
Go ahead, Kyle.
My favorite current artist, as I've talked about many times on this podcast, is a gentleman by the name of Cody Jenks.
Sure.
And he's got a song, and I'll give you a line from the song. 65 days in L.A. is enough for me.
All right, it is down.
How about Randy Newman? It's kind of a anti-LA song, and it's a tongue-in-cheek. He's very good at that, but it was from about 1984, I want to say, but I think it's even the name of that. But the name of the song is I Love L.A., and then he has people, we love it.
They played that song after Dodger wins. Like, they've taken it to not be an L.A. song.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
All right, Corey, I got one for you.
Hey there, Bubba.
I Am Alive. California, still a magical Vanity Fair.
Wow.
And what is that from?
Don't Ask.
Don't Ask? Okay. He's pulling lines from porn now, Bubba, or Corey. So. Yeah.
We definitely can't use that if it's on the broadcast for you.
Yeah.
We love Corey. We're not anti-Corey. If not, that's a great way for him not to
be. You're not going to say where that's from, Bubba?
It's from an author.
Okay. All right.
I needed help. That's something
top secret. Top secret stuff there, evidently, for Bubba.
It's not like you're plagiarizing, like you're writing a paper. I mean,
He's quoting his wife's romance novel.
Fabio. His romance novel. He covers with Fabio in the room.
What else have we got here? I'm trying to take a line from Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, I got one.
The theme. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this, you know the song by the Rivieras? I'm going out west where I belong, and I can't remember all the lines, but out to the California sun.
Yes, I say with a little bit of confidence. I think I know what you're talking about. Yes,
I got a great one. This is perfect. This is perfect. Country song from the mid-90s by Joe DiMassina. Hits Carolina, tails California.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent.
That, I'll be honest, I'm already saying, like, I must get that line in. Like, that one, like, I will be angry at myself if
it's
I don't
Carolina,
get that line.
It's Carolina, California. Yeah, you can change it to East Carolina if you want to. Bubby, you got anything else, man?
Nope.
Any other secret Arthurs?
Nope.
Bubba, are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm worried about him tonight.
No, I just my four-year-old called and that's me, so.
Okay.
All right. Blame it on the 4-year-old. Blame it on the rain.
All right. Is that it, guys? We got anything else for Corey or any movie lines related?
Maybe
we're throwing out songs.
Maybe some.
I know, like,
Tupac,
I love
or
Led
something.
Zeppelin, Going to California. I don't have like the actual lyric, but. That was one I thought about, and I shouldn't have researched that one, and I admit I forgot to research the Led Zeppelin one, but I don't know if there's any way you can, there's a line there from Led Zeppelin, I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan, I can't think of the lyric right offhand right now.
And go with some Tupac and California Love.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's one that came to mind. California knows how to party.
Knows how to party, yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So that's one of the best songs of the 90s, I think, in my opinion.
Those were last year when I did this with Josh Graham, when he would give me rap lyrics or when they would feed me wrestling lines. Like, those are two worlds, and I know tonight's WrestleMania.
I have one.
Those are two worlds I'm not in at all, and so those were always the most challenging for me.
I've got one for you. Thank you for that. Was a nice segue. I was waiting for... This is a non-California one that I was going to use because it's UCLA to honor the and obviously Kyle can appreciate this too. I love Ric Flair, huge fan of Ric Flair, and and to be the best, you got to beat the best.
To be the man,
you got to be the man. Yeah,
be the man, you got to be the man.
So in other words, talking about UCLA being number one, it made me think about. Ric Flair to say
and
that.
And Corey, if you do that, if you throw out the be the man, you got to beat the man, you got to follow it up with, woo!
See, he's the one that's throwing the wrinkles on you, Corey. I'm going easy on you.
Well, that'd be easy. If we take two out of three from UCLA, that's how Corey can end the box.
I'm completely with you. I'm completely with you on that one. Yeah.
I'll give you that. Yeah. I'm going with that. So, any more? Any more, guys?
I'm all out. I was trying to think of some movie lines that were directly related to California, and I guess when you think about it, pretty much any damn movie lines.
I do hear they make some movies there.
Indeed, they do. I guess pretty much any movie line would be related to L.A., we're trying to think of movies that are based in L.A. Movies that are based in L.A., Die Hard, Yippee-ki-yay-yay, that would be great, but you can't say it.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't nail the dismount on that line.
Great line, though.
I did think about that one.
All right.
Because I like Bruce Willis.
Anything else, guys? Or
I think we're
going to wrap it up with Corey.
No.
Yeah, I think we're good.
I will send you gentlemen and the fine followers and downloaders and listeners of the Sports Objective this challenge.
Okay.
This weekend. It's going to be a late night here on the eastern side of the country for these games. But I want everybody tuned in for all 27 innings this weekend. 9 o'clock first pitch Friday night.
Yeah, maybe 5 o'clock
first pitch for the doubleheader on Saturday. I want everybody locked and loaded, saying hello to me on Twitter. I want you. Bubba texts me quite a bit all the time. I want him texting me at 1 o'clock in the morning Friday night after the Pirates win the opener. Like I want
thin Corey pictures of your sleeping dogs.
Yes.
Sleeping
giant. Yeah. And not only that, but we're Saturday, we have our big event where we're going to be obviously talking about the football, the spring football game, but also we're going to be talking about baseball, too.
We'll have the baseball game on – probably have the baseball game on live at the after party.
Let me look for you here. I think UCLA will have a video stream available, I say with a little bit of confidence. And they don't have a link right now on their website for a video stream.
What is Saturday's game time?
That is a 5 o'clock doubleheader.
Yeah.
There you go.
It'll be starting at 5
o'clock and probably about 9:30. Yeah, right now there's no link for a watch live on UCLA's page. Pac-12 Network's not carrying it. So. No, they're not carrying it. It's non-conference. They only do conference games at the Pac-12 Network. So, so maybe they have an online school stream. I'll dig around, see what I can find between now and then. But, like last year when we were in Seattle and there was a doubleheader on a Friday out there that started
at,
I believe, 8 o'clock Eastern. So we went deep into the night and into the morning. And so I want that again from all you kids out in Greenville and the east of North Carolina.
The late night game Friday and the late night game Saturday may actually be easier for me because then I won't be doing anything.
You sleep during the day anyway. You're just up all night.
No, not anymore, Corey. Not in a while. That used to be me. You're absolutely right. But, unfortunately, I'm up for work at 7 o'clock, so no.
The challenge is now out there again for the second year in a row. I want Pirate Nation up late, put the coffee on this weekend because this is a hell of a series upcoming.
Indeed.
Up all night, sleep all day. Yeah, exactly. Rock and roll all night. All right. Well, Corey, man, please have safe travels. And obviously we know that I wish you had more control over the game, but you don't. But we're hoping the Pirates can definitely – that would be awesome for them to win the series. And We know it's in them, so it's not like it's a Hail Mary. It's not like it's a prayer. I think they do have a good shot, and you never know. That's why you have to play the games. So
we know how special this team is, and this weekend the nation could soon find out how special this team is. That's the challenge here. That's what's online here for ECU. But a date with those guys on Tuesday is up first. So got to get through that one first, and then head out west.
All right, we'll see how things go at Wilmington and at UCLA. And, Corey, safe travels. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, gentlemen.
It's definitely going to be an interesting series, guys, and I appreciate Corey. We think a lot of him and appreciate his time. Obviously, he's a fan of the podcast as he listens to more than just extra innings and participates, so appreciate him. Guys, we had a chance to talk to our new basketball coach. I'm very excited for women's basketball. I want to get your take on her really quick, and then we're going to go to the interview. We'll start with Bubba first.
Yeah, I really like the hire of Kim McNeil. She has a nice resume, has the head coaching experience that you always like to see. We know how important that is. And then you see it was a steady progression there at Hartford, and they had three straight losing seasons prior to her arrival, and then they won more games each and every year she was there. I think it was like 17, 19, and then 23, and she took them to a couple of WNITs. So I really like the hire.
What about you, Kyle? I think you were the most impressed. Not that we weren't impressed, but I think you were the most surprised, right?
When we hired her, you know, I looked at her resume and there was some closest things. Well, to be honest, as I always am, the hire didn't wow me. But what did was her personality in this interview. I loved her in this interview you're about to hear. She came across as real, genuine, relatable. She is the right fit for East Carolina. I think Pirate Nation, this is, you know, really one of their first chances to hear her in her interview. And she's very relatable and seems like somebody that will fit in well in Greenville, and I think Fire Nation is going to love her.
All right, let's go to the interview with the brand new women's basketball coach at East Carolina University. That's Kim McNeil, and let's go to the interview right now. Very excited to have our next guest as the new, and I like that title, new head coach for East Carolina University, the women's basketball coach. And Bubba, I know we're very excited to have her, right?
Yeah, Coach Kim McNeil. And Coach McNeil, welcome into the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
We're very excited. I know that it was a tough year last year, but the good news about last year, this season, is it's over. And that way we get to move forward a new era, if you will. And the good thing is I think you have something to work with, as the ladies made it through a difficult situation and they still managed to have a winning season at 16-15.
Yeah, I think that says a lot, you know, about the kids and, you know, just what they went through and still was able to fight through. You know, it's tough, you know, when you pretty much go through a season when you got three coaches, you don't know what tomorrow brings. And I think that, you know, just dealing with a lot of adversity, it makes you stronger. And I always tell young ladies is, you know, in every situation, you can always learn from something and take something with you. And I think, obviously, they've learned a lot from this situation.
We obviously wanted to have you on the podcast to give a chance for Pirate Nation, who hasn't had a chance to meet you, to find a little bit about you. I know that you were tremendous basketball in your own right.
Yeah, you know, I started, I'm a tomboy at heart. I have two older brothers. They kind of got me started. One's 6 years older than me and one's 12. So you can imagine playing with them and their friends, how I used to get beat up and they made me tough. And I really give them credit for getting me started in basketball. But I finished out my career at University of Richmond. And then from there, I went on right into coaching James Madison, made stops at, you know, University of Richmond, Cal Berkeley, University of Georgia, University of Virginia, and then got my first head coaching job at the University of Hartford, where I'm extremely grateful. It was a great first job for me, and we were able to turn things around really quickly, and just had a really good 3 years there. So it was a hard decision for me to make coming to East Carolina, but there were a lot of things that contributed to me making a decision that I made.
Coach, talk about that, where you made you – I guess the one great thing we can say is that you built that program in Hartford. Can you talk about the time that you took over that program and what did you do to actually, I guess, right the ship? We like to say that a lot here in Greenville with the Pirates.
Well, you know, going even before getting to Hartford, I've worked for some unbelievable head coaches that's got me prepared, you know, for that situation. Joanne Bull, I was with her in three rebuilding situations, University of Hartford, Cal Berkeley, and then going back to Virginia with her, and then Andy Landers at the University of Georgia, who has been there, done that, and then Kenny Brooks at James Madison at Virginia Tech. So I've been taught by some of the best in the business and kind of saw the pattern that it takes to rebuild programs. And the first thing that we did when we got to Hartford is we changed the style of play. And, you know, to be able to do that, you got to have buy-in. And right from the jump, the young ladies completely bought in. Unbelievable coaching staff that spoke the same language and stuck together. And the girls knew that, you know, they couldn't come in between us. They couldn't go to one coach and talk bad about the other, you know, with the change and just that loyalty that I had amongst my coaching staff and just the immediate buy-in that we had from the players obviously made the transition very easy.
Coach McNeil, this is Bubba. So I wanted to ask you, you mentioned coaching under the legendary Andy Landers sitting down in Georgia. You're actually the second head coach for ECU who has ties to Coach Landers, Sharon Baldwin Tanner. When you were going through the process of applying for this job and just seeing if it was something you wanted to do, because I know you said it was tough for you to leave Hartford, talk about your relationship with Sharon and did you reach out to her?
Yeah, I've known Sharon for a really long time. She's a good friend of mine, obviously, being under that Georgia tree. You know, you got a lot of friends in the business. And I did. I had a really long conversation with Sharon, and she had only unbelievable things to say. First and foremost, about the Greenville community and the support that you can get. And then just about the university and her time there. And, you know, Sharon was very successful at ECU, had done some really good things. I think the decision that she made was a family decision. And so just hearing that from her and the trust that I have from what she's saying really, really helped in the decision-making process to come to ECU.
Yeah, Sharon, to the NCAA tournament, by the way, Coach Scott.
Yeah.
When she was here, we were playing Conference USA, now we're playing in the American with the likes of UConn. What are your thoughts on this conference overall?
you know, I think it's a very tough conference. I think it's a really good conference. There's a lot of change in it for a lot of new coaches. You know, Cincinnati, Michelle has done an unbelievable job there. I know Katie Abrahamson. She was leaving Albany to go to Central Florida as I was coming into Hartford. And you know, SMU and Houston, all those guys. So it's a very good conference. I think you know, we've talked about it as a team and a staff. You know, I don't want to talk about where we want to place next year because I want Pirate Nation to understand that this is going to be a process, that change isn't going to happen overnight, but that we're going to lay the foundation right from day one. And for everybody just to be patient with us. But we don't want to talk about where we're going to finish in the league. We don't want to talk about winning championships. What we want to talk about is just getting a little bit better every single day. And if we do that, we'll put ourselves in a place to where we can continue to climb, you know, in the conference and make some noise. But our focus from the jump is just to get the players that we have better and get them to understand our system and just focus on getting a little bit better every day.
And, Coach, as far as recruiting goes, when you have the likes of a UConn, when you have the likes of a great basketball conference like the American, that's a lot easier sell, right?
It is, you know, because, you know, you want to tell, okay, come on, come help us beat UConn, you know, come help us beat South Florida, things of that nature. But, you know, my phone's been ringing off the hook, you know, ever since it was announced that I took the job, you know, from AAU coaches and players that, you know, might not would have given us the time of day at the University of Hartford, but now are like, oh, you're at ECU. Well, we're definitely interested in that. So that's been very, very exciting. I'm looking forward to getting back to recruiting very high-level student athletes. I've done that at Georgia, you know, Virginia, Cal. So I'm excited about getting back, you know, to that level of athlete.
Coach McNeil, something I really noticed about your numbers at Hartford, that's what you had, I think, your very first season there, you were fifth nationally in steals per game and 10th in turnover margin. So talk about your defensive philosophy, and it seems as though you really like to create offensive opportunities with your defense.
Yeah, I'm a blue-collar kid. Growing up in a small town, you know, where I was taught by my parents at a young age that you got to work for everything you get. Nothing is given to you. And that's kind of helped me develop my philosophy as a head coach. And so, you know, I think that, you know, on any given night, you know, shots might feel good leaving your hand. And I was a shooter at the University of Richmond. And there were some nights I felt like every shot was going in. And I couldn't hit the backside of a barn. And so sometimes you can't control that, you know, but you can always control your effort. And defense is all about effort. It has nothing to do with size, athleticism. It's all about your effort and want to. And so that's why we put a lot of focus on that because, you know, if you want to play defense, you can play defense. And so last year, this past season actually at Hartford, we finished number two in the nation in steals per game, forced turnovers, and turnover margin. It just became who we were. It's our identity, and that's what we'll do the same thing here at East Carolina.
Coach McNeil, you mentioned growing up in a small town and being a blue-collar kid. You're from Virginia, is that correct, though?
Yep, Bassett, Virginia.
What town? Bassett?
Mm-hmm. You heard of Bassett Furniture?
Yes. Where exactly in Virginia is that?
It's southwest. So I'm about 20 minutes from the North Carolina state line, about 45 to 50 minutes from Greensboro, North Carolina.
So Danville area.
Yeah. I'm about maybe 40 minutes from Danville. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. And tell us some interesting stuff. What's something interesting about Coach McNeil that Pirate Nation might be surprised about?
Like I said, tomboy at heart, grew up riding dirt bikes and four-wheelers, and I had my first three-wheeler when I was 4 years old, and my mom had a fit, but just growing up where I grew up, my dad and my brothers are all about racing, whether it's motorcycles or cars, or so that's kind of what I grew up on. Didn't grow up on a lot of sports, and so when I got so dedicated with basketball, my dad didn't understand that. He thought I needed to be somewhere working, but then when he figured out that it would help pay my college tuition, he was all for it.
Gotcha. Are there any – I know that you put a lot of time, obviously, being a head coach now at Division I basketball. Do you have any hobbies or things you like to do off the court?
My babies. I got a set of twins that are six, boy and a girl, Gabrielle and Caden. And so when I'm not with my ECU family, I'll be with the McNeil family. Obviously, my husband, Corey McNeil, is my associate head coach. But that's what we do on our off time. It's been a lot of time with our kids.
One of the questions that came to mind for me, Coach, is that that's a very unique situation. How do you separate the coaching and being married to an associate head coach, how do you do that? How do you balance that?
It was tough at first because obviously we were married and we were assistants together at the University of Virginia, and we had a hard time because we're so competitive and we're so passionate
right.
about what we do. We had a hard time coming home and separating it. You know, we would say, you know, we leave the cell phones, you know, in our pockets when we're at dinner and things of that nature, but it was tough. But I think what has helped us is our kids, our twins. You know, my son, whatever season it's in, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football, that's what he wants to do. So we spend a lot of time with him with that, and my daughter is a girly girl. You know, she's all into her Barbies and fashion and things of that nature. So they've definitely helped us be able to separate.
That's going to be, well, I'll tell you what, I think that's great, too. As far as the rest of your, are you going to have the rest of your staff come with you? Or
Yes. Everybody's coming with me.
And that says a lot, too, Coach, because I know from being in just around the coaching business, that says a lot about you that the coaches are that loyal to you. Like everybody's coming with you. I think, you know, Kyle, I think that will help tremendously with the success of the women's basketball.
Yeah, program. They're very similar to what's going on with football with Mike Houston bringing most of his staff from JMU. They're a very similar situation that makes the transition probably a lot easier on the kids because you guys all know each other's language. You're not having to learn your staff. You guys can just concentrate on learning these kids and let the kids learn you guys.
Exactly, and for me, it's loyalty is huge, trust is huge, and so obviously Corey's been with me. We've been together for the last 3 years at Harford, and my other two assistants came on after my first year, so they've been with us for 2 years, going on three here at East Carolina, and you know I trust them. I know when they're having individual meetings with players, I know they've got my back. I know they're saying the things that need to be said, and that's huge. You know, to know that. You've got that loyalty and trust in your staff, and then they know our system. You know, it's not like we've got to teach somebody our system all over again, and our system's not easy. You know, so they're very comfortable now, and you know the family is really really big for me. You'll hear us and see that around a lot with our program. Just creating that family environment for the players where they can look to me as not only a coach but a mentor, a motherly figure. You know, a role model, because at the end of the day, this is bigger than basketball. This is about preparing these young ladies for life.
Yeah, we had a coach McNeil here before that talked a lot about family, and he was quite
football, right? Football.
Yeah.
He actually when we were at Virginia that first year, it was our last year at Virginia, but it was his first year as an assistant there on the football side.
That's very cool. And as far as you've been here a short period of time. Since taking the job, what have you learned about the program? Is there anything, like, off the bat that we can, like do differently as far as the ladies are concerned? What do you see that we can, I guess, opportunity we can add?
You know, I'm just really excited about the community. Greenville reminds me a lot of Athens, and it does because of just the support that you get. You walk in every restaurant, and you're seeing, you know, the purple, you're seeing the Pirates, you're seeing the jerseys, you're seeing all that. And so I'm just excited for that, for the girls. But we got to get the community back heavily involved. We got to get the fan support up. I can tell you guys that we're going to have an exciting brand of play. Our goal is whether we win or lose, that fans walk out of our games every night saying, wow, they play really, really hard. They get after it. And so that's the brand of basketball you're going to see. I think the kids are hungry for some leadership. I think they're hungry for some discipline. And so I'm excited, you know, to get in the gym and start working with them.
Well, Coach, we're very excited for you, and we're very excited for your family to be here, and I think you're going to have a great time, and it seems by your winter, and it seems like you're a perfect fit for Greenville, and we wish you the best, and hopefully you won't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back on again.
Well, I would love to. Anytime you guys want me, my assistants, anything, please just feel free to call.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I know Kyle and Bubba enjoyed the interview very much, and I'll give my take. I thought she was fantastic. I thought she's very charming. I think she's going to recruit extremely well. I think one of the things that I was impressed with, guys, is not only her resume, but also not only her personality, but just thinking about if you listen to her talk, I think one of the things that's consistent with a lot of the new hires we've had, whether it's administration for the sports, for East Carolina athletics, or it's the actual coaches themselves, she adds to that theme, guys. I want to mention this to you guys before we move on. I really believe that, yeah, blue collar, and you believe her. We've had coaches, we're not going to go down that road, but I bring that up. You didn't, and athletic directors and different people, you didn't believe them.
Yeah.
You didn't believe it, you didn't believe them, and you didn't believe in them. And so it was nice to have her. Like, it's not like a, it's not like that I didn't think she was great. I think what was interesting is how it fits into the narrative, a new narrative for 2019 for East Carolina.
No, yeah, she definitely has, like I said, that genuineness about her. She seems like a real person. She seems very relatable. She's somebody that I hope is very successful here just because I liked her so much in that interview. I'm rooting for her, and I hope, obviously I'm rooting for her because she's a Pirate now, but I really liked her a lot, and it was like you said, because you believe her, she came across as very genuine. I can tell when people are fake and just not being themselves, and coach speak, and just
right.
Across as real.
And actually, we need to commit to going to some games next year. It's been a long time since I've been to – I was a student the last time I went to a women's basketball game, so that tells you how long it's been. I'm just being honest. But she actually is somebody – Bubba, I know you and I talked about that, no offense to the previous coach, but I think now is someone that's very humble. I wouldn't say laid back, because I don't really know a coach that is laid back or mellow.
Maisie was a good coach, but she wasn't always the most likable person.
Right. It wasn't a question of right. It wasn't, to me, the coaching, the on-the-court stuff. It was not on-the-court stuff that was my concern. So I don't want to go down that road of speculating of what happened there. We'll never probably know. But I'm just saying that there was more to it than extra practices. I would just say that, or length of practice or whatever. Yeah. But I don't think – the reason I brought that up, I don't think you're going to have that where there's going to be an issue of whatever the case may be, what had happened previously with Macy. I don't think with McNeil that's going to happen. I could be wrong, but my first impression was that's not going to happen.
No, it's McNeil's, you know, she what happened with whatever did happen with Heather Macy has nothing to do with McNeil. Two totally different coaches, and no, it's,
right.
I think she'll do a great job here, and I'm rooting for her. Bubba, what did you take away anything from the interview?
I like the fact, in addition, I talked about her experience at Hartford, what you guys have already said about how genuine she comes across and believable. I think she's certainly seems to be a woman of her word, and that you can take her word to the bank just off first impression. And I like the fact that she has had those ties to Andy Landers at UGA, because they've been so successful down through the years. Sharon Baldwin Tenner, as we discussed in the interview, had also been from there. She talked to Sharon before taking the job, and Sharon had great things to say about ECU. So she seems an awful lot kind of the same mold as Sharon Baldwin Tenner.
Yeah, and the only reason Sharon left was because her mom was sick and she wanted to move back to Atlanta. She actually took a step down in terms of, I would say, in terms of jobs, to take the Georgia State job to be in Atlanta with her mom.
Right. And, you know, the fact that another thing that I loved about that interview was the fact that when she said win or lose, she said something, paraphrasing her, I can promise you that we're going to play exciting brand of basketball. Not that any coach is going to come. But the fact that she said that was, I love that bold, it was to me a bold statement, and to put that out there. And I think that's something that I think.
Well, that's something you can control. I mean, you can control the style of play you play. So, I mean, that's a statement that, you know, she has some control over that. The team ultimately controls win or lose, but the style of play, you know, that's, coach is going to dictate that.
And, you know, Bubba, what was fascinating to me is that, you know, how much I love defense, and she was talking about that, and the fact what they were number two in the nation, or right up there with steals. That was another big thing for me that was impressive.
Yeah, I know her initial season at Hartford, they were fifth nationally, and then I think it may have gotten better from there, but
it did.
Yeah, fifth nationally in steals in year one at Hartford, and then they ranked 10th in turnover margin.
Here's another thing, too, that impressed me with let's give a shout-out to all the athletic administration, because I really thought that I thought it was going to be a long time, a long like process as far as who would be the next hire. And kudos to John Gilbert and staff. They were very secretive, which is a good thing, tight-lipped. And they went ahead and got the job done. We were actually going to have a segment at least on the podcast. Both of you guys know we were working on that. We didn't even get a chance to do the segment we wanted to do on who would be the next women's basketball coach. And another thing that was impressive to me was the fact they picked someone who had, wait a minute, Kyle, you ready for this? Head coaching experience, yeah. And she's a winner. So
yeah.
Kudos to John Gilbert and all the staff. I know people probably think that we're not paid by the – God knows after last year, I know people will know that we're not paid by the university.
No, I wish we were, though.
Yeah, that would be nice. But we're open to offers for sure. But we'll be the official podcast of East Carolina if they want us
right.
to be. But,
absolutely.
Money talks and people walk. But I really was impressed with her. I'm very excited about it. And it just feels like we deserve it. I know this sounds bad for me to say, but we do deserve it after what we've been through the last few years. Just everything, I mean, 2017, when none of the teams make postseason play, that's probably got to be one of the darkest years.
You guys remember when everything just – we were just terrible in everything, and those morons that were here were up there on pirate radio. Bubba, you remember this when Vinegar got up there? Why are you guys talking about the negative? The track and field team's doing great.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter was is that when you look at the program as a whole, I mean, you have to, if you're in the administration, you have to be judged by wins and losses.
Yeah, exactly. And but can you imagine, just thinking back to that moron actually saying that? Oh, golly gee, why are you talking about how bad baseball, football, and basketball are? The track and field team's fantastic.
Well, and the fact that we're happy that those were doing, but when it's all said and done, like on this podcast, we do everything we can to have as many coaches on. That's one of our goals is to support athletics. Every one of us on this podcast is an ECU fan, alum. I know, Bubba, you
Probably
were born.
Carolina.
Yeah, but, whatever angle you wanted. We cover every angle. When it comes to ECU and the athletic department and all that. But anyway, I thought that overall, we just like the name of the show is, the sports objective, we want the credibility of our listeners. And if we are up here talking about how great things are and how much sunshine there is and it's raining, then nobody's going to look. Who would take us seriously? Who would take us seriously if we were up here going, oh, yeah, things are great and all that, and then things are not. But then on the flip side, there's some people, Kyle, as you know, that sometimes we get criticized or we get feedback from people that we're, negative and we can't do anything.
Yeah, and what's funny is that some of the same people that criticize us for bitching are bitching themselves about things that make no sense.
But it's great that – let's talk about something that I'm excited about, and I appreciate the hard work of you, Kyle, and Bubba, and
I haven't done nothing.
Terry Gallagher, yes, you have. You,
Bubba and Terry, the hard work of Bubba and Terry for getting these guests lined up. Bubba, we got some more announcements we can make in terms of people that are going to be joining us this Saturday night at Professor O'Cool's.
We do.
So you're fired up about that.
Yeah.
We don't have a four-year-old
night owl, but yeah. In addition, we talked about Marcus Crandall. Marcus Crandall will kick the show off. We'll also talk to Kevin Walker, defensive back from 1983 team. I talked to him a couple times already on the show back in the fall. We'll catch up.
Jimbo Walker, right?
Yeah, we'll catch up with Mark Washington and Greg Grandison
from the Peach Bowl.
From the 91 team, and then we'll catch up with a few guys. Of course, Terry Gallagher, Jimbo Walker, Walt Davis, and Coach Henry Trevathan from the Pat Dye era. We'll talk to one of the most overlooked linebackers that we've had, in my opinion, Chris Moore.
Oh, yeah.
He played at a time where we weren't very good. He played
Dakota Marshall, right?
Dakota Marshall
will be there.
Skip Holtz days.
Garrett McGinn, who just wrapped up his career last year.
Yeah, Garrett McGinn. Yeah, that's right.
One thing you'll know about us is that we love all of East Carolina
players. How are we going to approach Garrett McGinn's interview and just talk about his future? Good God.
Well, no, I mean, I think the reality is of how we're proud of him. I know Terry.
No, I am proud of him as being a pirate. I mean, what am I trying? You know what I'm trying to say? With the Scotty Montgomery days, there wasn't a lot of positive wins and losses, but in terms of him as a young man and as a football player, there's a lot of positive to talk about.
And of course, he
played about every position on the offensive line, pretty much. He's extremely versatile.
Indeed.
Yeah, and also the fact that he can tell us like what it was like to go through that and how they're unfortunately as much as we had people that were some people that criticized us on the message boards, which we're not going to give them any time, name people's names. But, you know, what's funny about the whole thing is that we never turned our back on the players ever.
No,
never heard any
never,
of us
never
say anything bad about, no.
No.
And we had some, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a fan that, I don't know if it was after the A&T game, but early in the season last year who
he was
going after the players. I mean, just, it was really ugly. We never resorted to that kind of stuff, nor would we ever do that to begin with.
No.
And so what the point I was bringing is that Garrett McGinn is a great player, and it's unfortunate that there's guys in different eras who they can't help that they're great players and they're on teams and coaching staffs that don't know what they're doing. And then there's coaches on coaches' staffs that are frustrated because they know things are not right. So, and we may have one of those coaches, hopefully at the podcast party, we can talk to him about what it's like to be on both sides when you're on a coaching staff when things are great and when you're on a coaching staff is not great. But I'm telling you, folks, you don't want to miss out on Saturday night right after the spring game, 5:00. So basically you can come there and there's
eat dinner. You got to eat dinner, right? After the spring game, you're looking for somewhere to go to dinner. Just come out and join us. We'll be in the party room at O'Cool's. Just come eat dinner there and listen to the podcast and talk to a lot of former Pirates. Hey, if you want somebody to sign something, bring stuff. I'm sure Marcus Crandall we forgot a big name. That's Tony Collins.
Tony Collins. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's other guys.
Marcus Crandall. I'm sure they'll be happy to sign your stuff. If they won't, then I'm sorry.
I'll sign it.
Yeah, Marcus Crandall or Tony Collins won't sign your autograph. Just bring it over to me. I'll sign it. I'll sign their names.
I knew you were going to say that. That's what I was going for. And the fact that there's other guys that are going to be kind of like audibles. They're going to be last minute game time that people are going to show up. Like last time we had Mike Houston.
Steve Shankweiler. Donnie Kirkpatrick.
I'm not saying those guys are going to be there.
Brian Bailey
showed up, yeah. So there's going to be stuff like that that's happening that we're not going to make promises on the show unless we definitely know that people are coming. But stuff like that has happened on last time, and it could definitely happen again.
I mean, all we know, Dwayne Harris and Chris Johnson might show up. We don't know.
You never know, yeah. Possible. That's not anything is possible, right?
David Garrard might show up. You know, it's just you can't ever
don't
say
know.
That.
You never know.
Sandra Bullock might be there. You never know.
Well, that would be, I tell you what, I will definitely be, that's somebody that I'm very starstruck. If she shows up, that's going to be, I'll let you guys take over the podcast.
Vince and Linda
McMahon.
I was about
to say, if Dave loses his focus, then that could be why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Sandra Bullock. I can never say anything bad about her or certainly her. I think she's a tremendous actress as well.
You guys see The Birdcage?
I haven't seen that yet, no.
The Bird Box, I'm sorry. The Bird Box.
No, I know where you.
The Bird.
I know where you. I know what you meant. Yeah, I know what you meant. I know what you meant. Do you guys have any final thoughts? Certainly, we're wanting a big crowd. We'll be talking. We've got a lot of great. By the way, we're going to be talking to the The Adams, I always want to say the, it's funny. Do you guys remember?
Family?
No. No, what's funny is I keep getting ready to, I'm going to go ahead and be honest.
Adams Auto Wash?
No. Adams, there's three brothers, and I always want to say the Adams Twins. I'm sure they've never heard that. No. Do you remember the 80s group, the Thompson Twins, and there was three of them?
I do remember the Thompson Twins.
And there were three of them.
What did they sing? What was their biggest hit?
Hold Me Now.
How did it go?
Oh, I can't sing it. What?
They had long blonde hair, right?
They had like that funny 80s like tease, yeah. And but anyway, there's three of them, and there's three brothers, and I keep wanting to say the Adams Twins, and there's three of them, and they're not twins. So it's just anyway, kind of like the Thompson Twins. So, but please make sure that you guys come up to the podcast party on Saturday. We've got great programming. By the way, on for the Thursday, I know we can already say that we have Brian Ward. We actually had a chance to talk to him, who, of course, was big time, won a state championship with Ronald Benson. He played great ball under Coach LeClair. In fact, he told us, which I didn't know, by the way, Kyle, he was the very first guy to sign for Keith LeClair. And
wow.
That was really cool. Didn't know that. There's so many things that I've learned about this podcast, and that's the latest one. I didn't know he was the first to sign with the great one, Keith LeClair. But anyway, so we have him this week, a lot of great guests. And Bubba, where can people, as far as social media, how can they find us?
On Twitter at TheSportsOBJ. And then on Instagram at The Sports Objective, like and follow us on Facebook. And if you're going to be able to attend on Saturday, go ahead and post under the event on our Facebook page. And then also check out our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a couple of new videos up there, one from the Southside Expansion Project. And then also today, Riley and I, we had an opportunity to go out to the Irish Creek, Intercollegiate, to watch the men's golf team. They finished seventh out of 16 teams. Didn't play particularly well in the back nine, but overall had a solid weekend finish. I think it was two under par, something like that. And had a really good second round yesterday. Get this, guys. They had to play 36 holes of golf yesterday because of the weather on Friday.
Oh, my God.
So 36 holes of golf yesterday, and we shot a 7 under, 277, I believe it was, in the second round. They take the top four scores. So our top individual was junior Blake Taylor and then also Patrick Stevenson. He had a very solid round as well. And we have a video up there with some still shots as well as, of course, the video clips.
All right. So we told you about the big event this week. We got lots of stuff going on. Thank you, Bubba, for your hard work on the event behind the scenes. Terry Gallagher, and obviously I'm working on the production side of things. Thank you, Al Cannon, our great engineer. And we're working on that. Brian Freeman, the voice of the podcast as well. And Kyle, I know that you've been giving us a great idea for guests and different things too.
I've been contributing so much. Yeah,
you're underselling.
I've been telling Bubba to get it done. I've been coaching Bubba up to make sure he stays on task. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, he's like Chris Farley, a motivational speaker.
Yeah, that's right.
He told me if I didn't get this job done, then I was going to be living in a van down by the river,
no doubt.
You don't get guest scheduled. You're going to be living in a van down by the river.
That's great motivation. All right, guys, we'll put this podcast to bed. For Kyle from LaGrange Barber, thank you so much. Bubba Rosenbaum, and our great guest tonight is, of course, Corey Glore for our extra innings. Good luck to the Pirates this week in baseball, and certainly our new basketball coach for the ladies and for women's basketball, that's Kim McNeil. And thanks to them. I'm Dave Richmond, and you've been listening to Extra Innings on the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.